WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Cammie McCormick, an escaped murderer caught in southeastern Pennsylvania. Searchers from the air used thermal imaging to direct police to Danilo Cavalcanti's location. Pennsylvania State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens.
Tactical teams converged on the area where the heat source was. Cavalcanti did not realize he was surrounded until that had occurred. That did not stop him from trying to escape. He began to crawl through thick underbrush, taking his rifle with him. The dog subdued him. He continued to resist, but was forcibly taken into custody.
Cavalcanti has been on the run for 2 weeks. He was in prison for killing his ex-girlfriend in 2021. A meeting in Siberia between the Russian and North Korean leaders raising concerns about possible military cooperation between the two. Reporter Alex Jensen has more from Seoul, South Korea.
Isolated heads of state bonding in the face of evil forces, as Kim Jong-un described them over dinner after his official summit with Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin, who suggested to local media we can expect military cooperation between the sides.
The U.S. has warned any weapons deal would violate U.N. sanctions. In Libya, the death toll from massive floods has now reached more than 5,000, and it's expected to rise further in the eastern city of Derna. Authorities are struggling to get aid to the coastal city. Most roads have been washed away. Correspondent Holly Williams.
Floodwaters smothered entire neighborhoods in brown silt. Buildings were torn down. Their residents didn't stand a chance. Some streets were left carpeted in bodies. Mustafa Salem said he lost 30 family members in the inundation. People were asleep, he explained. No one was ready.
In Morocco, aid workers are beginning to filter in, but the earthquake damage there has wiped out roads. The quake on Friday killed nearly 3,000 people. More heavy rain could be in store for New England because of Hurricane Lee. Parts of Massachusetts are still recovering from nearly 10 inches of rain earlier this week. Consumer prices increased in August by the most in 14 months. Gasoline prices were one reason. Analyst Jill Schlesinger breaks down the numbers.
When we strip out food and energy, the core rate of inflation was up by 4.3% from a year ago. That's a good improvement from the previous month's 4.7% reading.
That potentially allows the Federal Reserve to keep interest rates unchanged next week. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Attorney the Civic Joe Media Cordy. Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has rejected a surprise plan from Republicans in the state legislature that would have the legislature approve new maps drawn by nonpartisan staff. Governor Evers called the plan bogus, claiming it's a last-ditch effort for Republicans to control Wisconsin's electoral map. The bill states the maps could not be drawn to favor a party or incumbent legislator, but the nonpartisan staff would be chosen and approved by the legislature. Another Wisconsin Republican has entered the race to unseat U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. Trumbull County Board Supervisor Stacy Klein filed to run for Senate yesterday and is expected to make a formal announcement later this week. Klein will have a Republican primary face-off with Rajani Ravindran, a 40-year-old college student and chair of the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point College Republicans. In 2018, Senator Baldwin was re-elected to the Senate by over 10 percentage points. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Relentlessly positive.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates.
Indicative?
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinair on the board. We got Greg Bach here today. And our guest for this first half hour is none other than returning champion Alan Borsick, who is a senior fellow at Marquette Law School and frequently still writes about education for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he was a veteran education journalist for a very long time. And we love to get his input on someone who has been reporting on schools and education in Wisconsin for most of your career. Is that a fair way to put it?
Dinosaurs roamed the earth when I started, I think.
And now you can, you know, now they study about them. But so welcome back. How are you, sir?
I am good. I'm really pretty good. How are you? That's what I want to know.
I'm impatient. As far as we are officially 2 weeks away as of today, and I am I'm feeling good though. Feeling very good. Feeling very lucky as far as the I have not reached that point where it's like, get this baby out of me now. So I think that's a good thing. So I wanted to bring you on because so often I feel like, especially when it comes to Milwaukee schools, there's a lot of discontent as far as NPS and the current status of, you know, failing schools, failing kids who are not reaching their potential. And, you know, and I think, as you said in your most recent article, for all that has happened on the Milwaukee area education landscape in the last 35 years, great results have been delivered too infrequently. Mediocrity, or worse, has continued unchanged when it comes to results in many schools. But you highlighted in this same article some examples of schools that are doing really well. And so I wanted to bring you on to talk about some of those and then talk a little bit about what is the common thread between them. And so to start with, you started with Reagan High School, which is an MPS high school, right?
Yes. Not a charter school or anything. It's a part of the regular system.
And so what do you see Reagan doing that this was the first school that you listed as a great example?
Well, Reagan is about 20 years old now, 21 years old. It started out as part of a Bill Gates Foundation funded small high school initiative, which nationwide was regarded as not successful, but there are success stories. And one of the things that happened with Reagan is it started out small and they had a clear idea of what they wanted to do. They had very good leadership. They had a program that parents really wanted, which was an academic. They wanted the roof as king of the South Side, is how one of them put it in the early days. They wanted a college prep school on the South Side to rival Rufus King on the North Side. And there was a market for it. They were doing what parents wanted, and that something that was good. So it began to grow. So suddenly it wasn't a small high school anymore. They like have 1,300 students now. They're putting on a more than $10 million addition because they were so crowded. I mean, this is the most successful development in MPS in the last 20 years, and they earned it by being good. I mean, good at what they do.
And so with that, because I think out of the four schools that you listed, that's the only public school that is not either private or a voucher school, right? Or charter?
As it happened, I wasn't setting out to be sector sensitive, but and I've heard of a couple more examples. I may do a second column. I mean, there are 1,000 reasons to be worried and pessimistic and, you know, just throw up your hands. The state of kids in the city overall is certainly alarming. But there are things that are being done well. Among other things, we all ought to be learning from them.
And so one of the other schools that you was the Notre Dame School of Milwaukee. And so what stood out to you about that school?
I was looking for places in this particular column that are growing and that are taking new steps and have earned, in my opinion, the right, shall we say, to grow because they're doing a good job. So Notre Dame started out also as a small voucher school, Catholic school, 15 years ago, I think. Expanded to two buildings. Now they're expanding to a third building. They've earned high marks in the state report cards. They just run a really good ship. Is it a school for everybody? No, it's definitely a straight line Catholic school. They separate boys and girls at early grades, but they do a good job and they're growing. Again, you know, in a parental choice world, which really applies to every sector of schools in town, parents, there's a market for this. Parents wanted good schools for their kids, and Notre Dame has earned a place as being listed as one of them.
And so as far as it being a barometer of who's doing well, it becomes,
yeah,
that's instead of neighborhood schools, it's who, where do you want to go and who's willing to drive across town to get you to that school?
A neighborhood schools is such an interesting question. We could have a whole separate discussion on kind of, I wouldn't say the death of neighborhood schools, but it's a very weak idea in Milwaukee, and it has been probably since the start of bus-oriented school desegregation in 1976.
Is it that long that it's not been, that neighborhood schools has kind of been,
I would say,
on the decline
so.
In Milwaukee?
I've argued with no data to prove this, but I'd love if someone, I tried to come up with a way of saying this more firmly, that the neighborhood school impulse is weaker in Milwaukee than I suspect in any other city in the country.
Oh, wow.
I grew up, you went to your neighborhood school. Everyone knew that. I know there were occasional exceptions, but they were rare. Now, something like 35% of kindergarten through eighth grade kids in the city of Milwaukee go to their neighborhood school. It's wow. Way under half.
Wow. Well, and that's probably another topic for another day,
yeah,
as far as if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it is interesting. We're talking to Alan Borsick, who is a senior fellow at Marquette Law School and frequently still writes about education for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we're talking about some shining examples of schools that are doing it right or doing well in Milwaukee. And the next one, while not technically Milwaukee, it is Cudahy, which is just south of Milwaukee. And I remember we talked about this previously because Cudahy, prior to any legislation being passed at the state level, was already making the switch to what we've talked about most of the times that you've come on the show, which is switching from whole language, right? The whole language reading method to phonics, which now is where the state's headed again, right?
Well, correct. And it's a little bit broader than phonics, but phonics is the signature aspect of it, what's called the science of reading. And Wisconsin became something like the 32nd state in the country to pass a science of reading law that had some bipartisan support, not a ton, but enough that Governor Evers signed it. That was part of his deal for allowing Milwaukee City and Milwaukee County to have a sales tax, was agreeing to some other changes, and the reading bill came along with it. But Carajé was in on this early, and the reason I am big on Carajé is that they really had fairly weak reading scores. It's a community that's not, you know, like a rich suburban haven, very much working class, a lot of changes in the demographic makeup of Carajé in the last 20 years. The thing that I like the best is, number one, they are taking constructive steps to deal with a problem. That's actually fairly rare in school life and deserves praise. And number two, they're well led. And number three, they appear to have their act together as far as everyone being on board. Teachers are supportive, parents are supportive, the school board's supportive, and the district leadership, of course, is supportive. So they're really working hard at it. And that sense of we need to do better and we're going to do it constructively, again, that's way too rare. And I'm impressed with how they've done on that.
And then the final school that I want to talk about, and then when we come back from the break, I want to talk about what you see as the common thread. Like, is it just money? Is it leadership? Is it bold ideas? And where you see within the confines of school districts and bureaucracy and everything, like what can other schools learn? But then the one that you actually wrote the most about in this article was Aug Prep, which I mean, maybe it's because I don't have a kid of that age yet, but I had not heard of Aug Prep previously.
Oh, really?
It seems like, no. Hey. And so tell us more about that school.
Well, it's an amazing story, and whether you love it or hate it, and there are certainly people in both camps, it's controversial. Gus Ramirez, the founder, is controversial. He's the head of a Waukesha-based high-tech business called Husco, obviously made a lot of money, driven by Gus and his family, they created the school. Only 6 years ago they opened, so it's quite young still. It's grown very rapidly. It, as of this fall, is the largest single-site school in the Milwaukee area with about 1,800 students, pushing 1,900 students. It's going to grow some more. And they've had great success, number one, attracting people. Number two, academic success. Number three, some of the things I look for in a school, stability in staff, stability in student enrollment, high attendance, and high scores on the state report card. They had 5-star scores the last 2 years of report cards. And what's some of the traits? Number one, strong leadership. Number two, clear ideas of what they're doing and clear attention to it. Number three, and I've talked with them about this, a willingness to look at what are our weak spots and how do we address them. You know, when we see there's a problem, third grade math isn't going very well, what are we going to do about it? That kind of thing. Certainly they've had the benefit of money because the Ramirez family particularly has poured tons of money into it. The first building they built was probably over $50 million. They opened a second building next door. Now that's almost $50 million. And they're taking over the Cardinal Stritch campus on the north side.
Oh, that's why I've heard that name before.
Which is a whole nother really ambitious idea that'll take years to unfold.
Well, we have to go to a break, so I want to keep talking about this on the other side of what you kind of see as the common thread. Like you said leadership, you said money, and what kind of schools can do with one, with the other, with both, with neither, to try to improve their standing. So our guest is Alan Borsick. Come back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Deliver me from the days of old.
The
The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Dig out the Lederhosen. It's Oktoberfest in Hayward on Saturday, September 16th. This all-day fest features German food and beer, an axe-throwing contest, 50-50 raffle, and it wouldn't be the same without live polka music throughout the fest. Celebrate Oktoberfest in Hayward, Saturday, September 16th, 11 to 7 at the Sawyer County Fairgrounds Pavilion, and is brought to you by the Hayward Lions Club. More information at haywardoktoberfest.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
A little patchy fog right away this morning. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 65 today. Our wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, more fog. Our low down to 43. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer, 77. Then on Thursday night into Friday, a cold front will bring a few scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high on Friday near 74. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Greg Bach and Jane Matinere, and we are talking to Alan Borsick, who is a senior fellow at Marquette Law School and writes about education for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we're talking about what schools are, in at least in Milwaukee area, are really doing well. They're growing, their tests are good, the grades are good, the achievement levels are good. And we talked through some of the highlights of the schools that you had written about in your most recent article. But I kind of want to talk about what you see as the common thread. And I guess the first question is, how much, because there's so much talk about money when it comes to school funding. There is obviously do public schools have enough? There is still anger from some as far as how much voucher schools are now going to get in this new budget. But how much do you feel like successful schools need to have adequate, or if not a more money to be successful?
It's not a simple question.
Okay.
you'd like to make it a simple question, but there's so much evidence from around the nation that, and around here as well, that you can spend a lot more money and get not very good mm-hmm. results. So there's more to it than just money. Do schools need money? Yes. Do schools, especially at the moment, the public schools, are they being stretched and stressed? Absolutely. Did they do well in the state budget? No, not really. The voucher and charter schools did way better mm-hmm. in this budget. Mm-hmm. And the balance of power and initiative and energy between the sectors is changing in a way that is much more attractive to the non-traditional public schools. So that does all involve money. But if you're looking for success, you got to have more than money. You do have to have resources. That's a fact. A sense of limited satisfaction constantly, that you can't just rest on your laurels, even if you're doing pretty well. And that's fairly rare. A sense of, let's address our problems effectively. That's a really important trait. A sense of not putting up with mediocrity, which too many schools kind of say, oh, well, we made it through today. Strong teachers, strong principals, principals of school leaders, I mean, for principals as far as ideals also, a real focus on the facts of whether are our kids doing as well as they ought to and what are we going to do about it. These are intangibles, but, you know, if you talk about Aug Prep, they got lots of money.
Yeah.
And that's a really good thing. But they also have that strong, competent leadership and that sense of how do we do better? How do we connect with kids? How do we get students on the paths to success? What help do they need, including intangibles like social emotional stuff? You know, it's not just about learning the reading and math and science. So that the intangibles are also really important. You know, I could name schools around here where you give them a ton more money and you're not going to get any better results.
And is that, because I think that's kind of the question as far as what is, when we think about some of the voucher schools, charter schools that don't have the bureaucracy of the school district, how much, having never worked in education and only reading things from the outside, like how much of like how much like handcuffs do MPS leaders as far as principals of individual schools, like how much leeway do they have to really take charge and like turn their school around versus things that are kind of like school district wide that are just hard to overcome?
It
another
is
hard
a big
question.
Well, there's no one answer, and in different periods there's been different results. That at times there's been a much looser central control and at times there's been much more restrictive central control. These days, I think school principals don't have as much freedom to pick their programs and to lead, you know, to be a maverick as in some prior eras. Frequently, it's been the mavericks who ran the best schools in MPS. Going back like 25 or 30 years ago, there are not very many mavericks in that system now. Frankly, if you're a maverick, you've go somewhere else. There's been times, and we're kind of in that now, where every school is expected to be on the same page in the same textbook, every day. And that has advantages and that, but it does sort of sap creativity and drive for a lot of employees. It's a big battleship and getting it to change directions is not easy. That's just one of their many problems, unfortunately.
So I guess with the 2 minutes that we have left, I guess, what are you looking forward to, not only with these like certain schools that are doing well, but knowing, like we said, there's a new budget, there's new reading legislation. Like, what are you looking for and things that you're looking forward to writing about in this upcoming school year?
Well, that's a good question. I have cut back, I should say, on how much I'm writing for the newspaper just because I'm old and cranky and worn down. the balance of power between the non-MPS or non-public school sectors and the public school sectors is really important to watch.
Mm-hmm.
As things evolve with the new reading law, that's important to watch. The whole politics, especially in the suburbs, the politics of what's going on and issues that are important and valuable, but nonetheless, oftentimes not really central to how kids are doing in school. I wish parents and teachers and everybody was focused more on how do we get better outcomes for our kids. So those are the kind of things I'm watching.
Some little things, just little details.
but those are also often the ones that school districts don't focus on that.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, Alan Borsick, always a delight to have you here. I will see you when I get back from maternity leave. Jane and Greg will probably have you back while I'm gone, but have a great day and always appreciate having you here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, what are the worst mistakes in television history? We want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Looking for more local programming?
Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Update. Escape murderer Danilo Cavalcanti has been captured in southeastern Pennsylvania 2 weeks after he escaped from jail. Surveillance aircraft picked up his heat signal early this morning, and search teams with dogs moved in to capture him. State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens.
The dog subdued him. He continued to resist, but was forcibly taken into custody. No one was injured as a result of that. He did sustain a minor bite wound.
A meeting in Siberia between the leaders of Russia and North Korea. The U.S. and its allies are watching closely to see if a weapons deal is made for Moscow's war on Ukraine. Correspondent MTS Taev.
Whatever is eventually agreed between Kim and Russia, it's not likely to change the overall trajectory of the war here in Ukraine, but it will isolate these two already extremely volatile countries even further.
Consumer prices increased in August at their highest rate in 14 months. CBS News Update, I'm Cammy McCormick.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Assembly has passed a nearly $3 billion income tax cut proposal, with all Assembly Republicans voting in favor and all Assembly Democrats voting against. Governor Tony Evers has already vowed to veto the bill when it makes its way to his desk, calling it irresponsible and saying it jeopardizes Wisconsin's financial stability. The bill would drop taxes from 5.3% to 4.4% for individual income between $27,000 and $304,000, and for married couples between $18,000 and $405,000. The Wisconsin State Assembly approved a constitutional amendment yesterday, which would require the legislature to sign off on allocating federal money. Democratic Assembly members say the move could delay responses to emergencies, and language in the bill is dangerously ambiguous. If passed by the state's Senate as well, the proposal would be put to a referendum for Wisconsin voters to approve. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Van Nair is on the board. Greg Bach is here. And let's get away from the politics. Let's get away from schools. Let's have some fun and talk about the worst decisions in TV history.
So this article came across my viewing eyes. The 50 worst for 50 worst decisions made in television. An article posted by Rolling Stone, And it basically goes through 50, the top 50 worst decisions ever made in television. I scrolled through it. And what I thought I would do is I'd start with one. I'm not going to do all 50, of course, because 50, that's a long time. That's a whole show.
Because time.
Yeah, because time.
Yeah, the time thing.
But all I did was from the 50th, I looked at the one that hit my eyes, the first one, and that was number 49, which was America's Next Top Model asked contestants to swap ethnicities.
What year did that happen in?
It wasn't the 20s, or the 2020s. So it's exactly what it sounds like. In 2005, the contestants were asked to swap ethnicities, which meant that some of the white models wore blackface and others changed their skin tone, wore wigs as if to look like if they were Native American, Hawaiian, or Latinx. This, of course, it says here took place in social media I think Facebook was probably the only one. We weren't about like what we're on now. This would get a person fired for even.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, this would never happen now. Because also on America's Next Top Model, didn't Tyra Banks put on her talk show.
She put on a fat suit.
She put on a fat suit and like existed as a fat person. And like it was supposed to be very
revelatory.
Yeah, and people were like, are you Tyra Banks? No, I'm not. And she, as she says, she has defended the move in recent years. She didn't want to do blackface, but she wanted to see how people would deal with being a degraded race. And I'm like,
is that the term she used? Was it degraded race?
Let's see here. She said, degraded my race. Sorry, degraded my race. But yeah, I'd still just take the L, Tyra. Just take the L. And you know what I'll do is I won't go into big explanation on some of them, but I'll just say this. Don't forget, folks, that the Geico Caveman commercials got their own TV show at one point, got canceled in less than one season. That was pretty cool.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's what, in going through this list, I was like, I don't remember that happened. But we would love to hear from you of what sticks out to you as really bad TV decisions, either because it was like, ooh, that did not age well, or because the studio or the network lost a ton of money. 844-967-2789. And I think we got Joe from Appleton on the phone.
Hey, Joe.
Hello, lovely people. Greg.
So good morning. Joe, what do you think is the worst TV decision in history?
I tell you this, my wife and I were very big fans of How I Met Your Mother. I think, and in many ways, it was a spiritual successor to Seinfeld. That's a whole nother discussion.
Interesting.
It started to wane in later seasons, but most shows do. But then it gets to the last season. They completely changed the setting from New York to some resort in New England. They changed the format, so the whole season, 20-some-odd episodes, takes place over one weekend. And, I mean, that just totally threw off the game, what it had been used to so far. Then they get to the season finale. I'm thinking, all right, this better pay off. And I think with the season finale or the series finale for How I Met Your Mother, the writers just gathered in a room and said, hey, you know what would be funny? If we did the equivalent of grabbing our audience by their big, dumb faces and screaming, F you! Because they undid everything. They undid everything that they had set up to that point. Pulled the rug out from under everybody's feet, and everybody hated it. Now, I can usually go back and watch old shows that kind of fell off and enjoy the good times. But with this, it was so bad, it spoiled the entire series, such that now when I see a rerun come on, all I can think of is, oh, you monsters. The seventh layer of hell is reserved for thee.
Boy, Joe, don't get dramatic or anything.
I get passionate about certain things.
So I have to ask then, because the other show that always pops up for me, the other like missed, like botched endings. I feel like I wasn't a Lost fan, but how Lost ended always gets listed as a terrible ending. And that's on this top 50 list. And then the other one is like the entire season, the entire last season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So do you have strong feelings about those, Joe?
I never watched Lost. I haven't kept up with Game of Thrones. I do hear that there are some, albeit a small minority, of defenders of the Lost season finale. I've not heard one person. I have not heard one person say How I Met Your Mother ended fine. And if they do meet that person, I know they're an alien.
All right.
Thank you very much,
well,
Joe.
Thanks so much for the call, Joe. But that's what I think is interesting. Greg, did you watch Lost?
I watched the first season. I'm sorry. I watched the first two episodes as a. I was dating a woman at the time. She's like, please just watch Lost. And I said, all right, I'll watch the pilot. And the pilot was two episodes. And as soon as it was done, I was like, thank you. I'm done with this now.
I'm not interested. Was it like the fantasy stuff or what? Didn't you get into it?
No interest whatsoever. And here I will say this. My sister is a fervent, diehard defender of everything Lost, to the point where one time I was going to say something about Lost just in like, hey, I watched it, whatever. I wasn't going to criticize it. And she like jumped at me. She was so, she's like, don't you ever say anything bad about Lost or I'll make fun of Doctor Who. I'm like, I wasn't going to make fun of it. I just didn't care. Like, there are fervent defenders of that show.
And I loved the show until they ruined it with the end.
With the end.
And even the last season, and it was very confusing and very convoluted to begin with. But the last season was all over the place, and the finale didn't answer so many intrinsic questions that had been part of the series from the beginning. Anybody who knows what smoke monster means will understand what I'm talking about.
Well, here's a question I have for the both of you. Do y'all remember a little show called Cop Rock?
Oh.
I don't.
Yeah.
I have no idea what Cop Rock
is. I'll give you a very quick overview. Legendary show creator Stephen Bochco wanted to make a Hill Street Blues into a Broadway musical. Everyone said no. So he said, you know what? I'm just going to make a cop show where throughout the show there are full dance and singing numbers based on various things that go on in a cop's life. It is so awful. There is a song where a guy sings about how he can get you, how he can kidnap you a child. Like,
what?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The show was like, basically it got canceled as the first episode was being aired because they realized
Cop
how
Rock.
Hard they had failed on this one.
So wait, and but it was it Stephen Bochco? I'm reading this right now. So it was it went like it was a real hard left turn into
He's like, I just want everyone to dance.
Man, I don't remember that show at all, but that is really funny. We're talking about the worst TV decisions of all time. Could it be shows that were created, shows that were canceled, people that were fired, botched endings? 844-967-2789. We got Carmela from Milwaukee on the phone. Carmela, what is the worst TV decision of all time?
It has to be Game of Thrones.
The ending, the last season?
Yeah, just everything. Bran King, and just a couple episodes before he was named King, he's like, I can hold no titles. And, you know, and then all of a sudden he's like, why do you think I came all this way to be crowned king? It was just so ridiculous the whole last season. There's so many more.
I have to agree with you as far as like the investment of millions of people for well over a decade, basically over a decade, right? And like the intricacy and the details for so many seasons. And then like, let's just wrap it up. We're over this. And it's like the last season felt.
Yeah, those two guys should.
Yeah, and I guess HBO offered to go longer so they could wrap it up. But the showrunners are the ones who decided, no, let's just kind of do it here.
The only good thing about the last season of Game of Thrones was I liked that the youngest daughter killed the Ice King.
But that whole war should have been a whole season.
The whole war could have been a whole season.
Yeah.
And then it did come out of nowhere. They were setting it up that it would most likely be somebody else, probably Jon Snow, and then she came out of nowhere. So
yeah.
I enjoyed that it was her, but at the same time, I was still kind of like, what? Wait.
So but also, and also, like, I know. And the the fast development of Daenerys and the Mad Queen, it's like that was like you loved her for like seven seasons until all of a sudden you're supposed to not love her. Like, I totally agree with you, Camilla.
Yeah. It just made me mad. And like, and then she got that look, and then she just destroyed the whole city, you know, and she's talking about breaking the wheel, and then they turned it. And I was like, no, every time I do rewatch it, because and it makes me mad every time.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much for the call, Carmella. I have to agree with you that is up there, especially because there were so many people invested in it that were let down. Let's go to Charles in Green Bay. Charles, what was the worst TV decision of all time?
Putting on Housewives of Anywhere.
Yay! Yay!
Housewives of New York, or Housewives of Dallas, or Housewives of you know, Conan Junction, or Housewives of Poughkeepsie, or whatever. You know, why do we give a damn about their show? Why do we give a darn about what's going on with their lives? The other fact of the matter is Keeping Up with the Kardashians. That one should have been canceled before it even got started.
I know Jane agrees with that one.
But the thing is that while
I'm sorry, but Jane and I are in the mode of sarcasm today.
Charles, I'm in the mode of sarcasm every day. But you and I and Cindy are going to have to get together and go drinking because I think we'd have a ball.
Go drink it in the Fox Valley, Appleton, Green Bay.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the call, Charles.
Bye.
Oh, bye. Sorry, couldn't hear. Greg, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, while those are terrible shows, those shows made billions of dollars, so those aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, quality doesn't necessarily popularity does not equate popularity does not equate quality.
Quality, but yeah. Speaking of billions of dollars and billions of dollars lost,
can we say the same time?
Well, I'm going to say the fact that this is like super, I think it's top 10 on the list, but the fact that NBC canceled Baywatch after the first season.
Oh,
so talk about a bad business decision. Yeah. That's on this list. And you think about the millions, if not billions of dollars Baywatch has made since, but the fact that NBC had it for the first season and then we're like, nah.
Well, we're fine. Pass. I was going to say my billion-dollar thing was when they launched Quibi in 2020.
Oh. What was Quibi?
Exactly.
See, that's the thing. I didn't even want to bring it up because I knew so many people. It was such a failure to launch that, like, I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and I was, like, trying to actively get a meeting with Quibi executives to try to pitch a show, but I was not famous, so they weren't taking anyone who wasn't already famous.
Yeah.
Because they had Chrissy Teigen, like every celebrity had these like 10-minute shows lined up that Quibi was going to be the next big thing.
Oh my God.
And it was basically literally the they were going to launch, the pandemic happened and TikTok started and everyone's like, oh, here's a bunch of free content I can get on my phone.
Oh wow.
Why would I subscribe and pay for 10-minute episodes? And it just literally, what was it, Greg? $1.75 billion.
It started in April and ended in December, the same of 2020. But I was also going to lump that in with CNN Plus, which launched and canceled and went away within a month. I mean, it was crazy how much money was spent on these things, and they're gone.
All right. Well, we got to take a break, but 844-967-2789. What are the worst TV decisions of all time? We'll come back with your texts and your calls, and we'll also let you know who's at the Laughing Tap this weekend. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah.
Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albo Show.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3.
Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albo Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
A little patchy fog right away this morning. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 65 today. Our wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, more fog. Our low down to 43. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer, 77. Then on Thursday night into Friday, a cold front will bring a few scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high on Friday near 74. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach. And we've been talking about the worst TV decisions of all time, according to, we saw this from Rolling Stone printed a piece about this, but we've also been taking your calls and texts on what you think is the worst TV decision of all time.
Charles from Green Bay called back and he wanted to add Fox News parting way with Tucker Carlson.
Is the worst decision of all time?
Well, I mean, certainly.
I disagree with that.
But their ratings took a big hit when he left.
Mm.
But it was great for us.
And it's also, the whole landscape. But yeah. What would you say as far as what do you, we'll end on this. Do you agree with what number one was on the list?
Let's see here. My computer is not loading well in this article because it's a very long page. Yeah, no, I don't agree with this. So number one is NBC cancels Freaks and Geeks. It was a beloved show. It was an underground show. This is not number one to me.
Because I agree with you, because I think their number two should have been number one.
Yeah, and their number two is NBC turns Donald Trump into a television titan, which, yeah.
Absolutely.
That, I think, has a much more grander impact on the scope of history than Freaks and Geeks getting canceled.
Absolutely. But the one I did notice, number eight, which is HBO, TNT, Showtime, FX, all turned down Breaking Bad.
Wow.
I mean, just have to imagine being the person who says, it's like the person at Decca Records is like, yeah, we don't want the Beatles. We're fine. The guitar rock is going out. It's fine. They won't be anywhere in a year.
We do have a couple texts as well. Mark from the SAC, Fox's cancellation of Firefly. Another one coming in from the 608. Worst TV decision, Fox canceling Firefly before all episodes had aired out of order. Another one for Firefly, and then
wow, I need to watch this show, or maybe not, because I won't be satisfied.
It's a really good show.
And then fun fact, Sheryl Crow sang a song on Cop Rock. We recently found it on YouTube. I'll have to see if I can find it, and I'll pull that for tomorrow.
Sheryl Crow sang on Crop Rock. Well, some of the other ones I thought were interesting is when Norm MacDonald got fired from SNL, but also David Spade and Chris Farley getting fired from SNL.
Chris Farley, I didn't realize they had fired him.
Yeah, they fired all three of them because they were just getting too big, too much money. Chevy Chase gets his own talk show that lasts 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the one that broke my heart the most is the people who played the Ropers on Three's Company. got their own spinoff, and there was a thing in their contract saying if the show didn't last a season, they could come back. But when they left, they introduced Don Knotts' character, and the Roper show lasted a year and a half, so when it got canceled, they weren't allowed to come back, and they lost their jobs. Like, that's just some nasty Hollywood stuff, in my opinion.
That's welcome to the entertainment business. Yep. Well, that was super fun. I will link the article from Rolling Stone to today's show notes so you can go check out and see which ones you agree with, which ones you forgot about, and which ones you think should have been on there, or what order. But that was super fun. And also super fun is going to the Laughing Tap.
Yes,
see
it is.
Comedy.
Yeah.
Stab some comedy, right?
Stab comedy. I stab comedy with you. And if you stab comedy this weekend, you might see Dan Schaefer, because Dan Schaefer told me he's coming to a show this weekend. So,
ooh, yeah, baby. That's so fun.
But we have Louis Katz coming to the Tap for 5 shows, Thursday, 2 Saturday, 2 Friday. Tickets are available, laughingtap.com. Very funny New York comic coming all the way out here. Finally get to see him. Very excited to see him. Jamie, got a clip?
We do.
I had this hippie roommate for a while. Her name was Juggle Sticks. She was super annoying. She insisted everything she bought had to be organic. She actually used, instead of a regular chemical-based deodorant, she used a crystal for deodorant. Anyone heard this before? Yeah? Yeah? You know how it works? Yeah, doesn't. All right? She stunk. Right? The crystal didn't summon some kind of bio fairy who magically made her pit smell like rainbows. She was a vegetarian who magically smelled like lamb shawarma, okay? It was disgusting. And it made me hungry. It freaked me out. One day, Juggle Sticks found a cat in the dumpster, brought him home, named him Dave Meowthews.
So, yeah, Louis will be here 5 shows at the Laughing Tap. Thursday to Saturday to Friday, laughingtap.com.
Nice.
Tickets are a steal.
$20, no drink minimum. And then also, if you can't come to those shows, Sunday, Keg Stand-Up returns to Lakefront Brewery. That show is 6:30. There's a full menu before the show. Got 4 great comics from the region, Milwaukee and Chicago comics coming through for the Keg Stand-Up show. Those tickets are available at milwaukeecomedy.com. That's our other company. And then finally, if you love comedy and if you want to meet me how Kristen, Brian, and I met years ago, you can volunteer for the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. We're looking for volunteers right now. Volunteers get to come to shows. It's not a lot of work, just helping out. You might be asked to drive. If you have a car, that'd be great, because we have people doing things like running some errands if we need it. But go to mkecomedyfest.com/volunteers. Also, volunteers link is on the front page of mkecomedyfest.com.
That's an awesome idea, and a great way to meet people and make some friends and check out the comedy scene in Milwaukee. That's terrific.
Yeah.
I would highly, not just because I got a friendship out of it, but as far as volunteer gigs go, you basically collect tickets and you tell people where to go if they're coming into like the Dandy or something like that, because you got to go sneak through the back. And but it is, you get to see a free comedy show, you get to meet new people. It is very fun. I would highly recommend volunteering. It's like, you know, it's like the people who couldn't get a Taylor Swift concert ticket, so then they just got jobs as security guards at stadiums. It's like basically the same thing.
Exactly. With less teenage girls.
Yeah.
So, exactly. We got lots of stuff happening, and come on down, high five, and it'll be awesome.
All right. Well, you know, a little bit of a rough start today, but we made it through.
Do you know why?
We revived.
Because we're professionals.
Why? We are professionals. And specifically, Jane.
Well, and we have a team. We have a team of engineers, and everybody pitches in when things go awry. So, thanks for everybody's help today, including Calvin and everybody. Casper,
thank you,
Corey, and Drew, and Brian, and everyone.
And thank you to everyone at home who let us know that, something's wrong. Because I would have kept just talking, and everyone would have been like, why is there no talking on the air?
Jane and Greg are having a weird conversation.
Yeah, so thank you so much for everyone who called in and texted today. Thank you to Alan Forsick. Thank you, Greg Bach. Thank you, Jane Matinere. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. We got a new public service announcement. Paul Noonan will be here. So, come back tomorrow, 10 a.m. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Make a smile, don't you know everyone?
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.